But right now we hear what it was like to be the father of the great Gordo and Junior Miller. First up, it's Gordo.
It's not the same guy, by the way.
No, it's two different guys.
Right.
Two different guys. But first up, Gordo, this is a great idea to have Gordon talk to Craig's father and Craig talk to Gordon's father.
This is wonderful. This took place yesterday after the show. I drove over to your father's house, Craig, and I sat down with him, and we visited for about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. That had to be pure hell for him. But, no, we had a wonderful conversation. I learned a lot about his life, and it was so impossible to pare this interview down from the hour and a half because he told me so many great stories. But I have a smaller version of it here, so we get to know Craig's dad here on The Ticket.
Gordon.
Mr. Miller, how are you?
I thought it was Avon calling.
I did bring some cosmetics, but they're for me. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. All right, first of all, what year were you born?
I was born in 1932.
Where were you born?
Breckenridge, Texas. But I've lived in France and Washington and Colorado.
What did your dad do for a living?
He had a grocery store. My mother was, of course, a housewife, as most women were.
When you graduated high school, what did you want to do with your life?
The only thing at that point in my life that I wanted to do was to go to college and perhaps be a history teacher or professor down the road. That didn't happen. When I finished high school, the Korean War was just kicking off. My dad was not well at that time. He actually passed away about 6 years after I finished high school. So there was that concern. And financially, I could not just ignore that and go off to college. I didn't feel like I could. So I worked at home for about a year and a half, and our draft board member that we knew called and indicated that my draft number was coming up pretty quickly if I was not going to get some type of deferment for school. A friend of mine had called me one day and said that he was going into the Navy. Why didn't I come and go with him? So I did, and away we went. I went to places like California, Alaska for a year, Paris for 3 years, back to the Pentagon in the briefing room for the Chief of Naval Operations for another 2 years, and then I was out of the Navy.
Where did you meet your wife?
At one Christmas time, and was invited to a progressive dinner party. And my wife, to be, was at the party. We met, we dated, and fell in love, and married within a few months in Amarillo. And Craig was born in Amarillo about 10 or 11 months later.
And where were you when Craig was born?
I was at the hospital in the waiting room. In those days, no one went to the delivery room. Not very long, probably an hour. And the doctor came and knocked on the window, and he was holding Craig under his arm, just like you would hold a football under your arm. And he said, "It's a boy," and turned around and walked off down the hall.
Did you decide the name, or did your wife decide the name, Craig?
We discussed it, and we thought it was going to be a boy, and the doctor said he thought it would be a boy. And so we had picked two boys' names, Craig and Paul. Craig is the one that stuck. And so my wife said, "Well, maybe next time we'll use Paul." And next time was Claire, so we didn't need Paul.
Well, What kind of kid was he? Was he a quiet kid or was he a cut-up?
Craig was very precocious when he was small. So he mastered a lot of fundamentals very early, focused on what he wanted to do, what he was doing, whether it was cycling at 15 and still cycling today, or making a television studio in his bedroom in which he was the weatherman, presenting the daily weather with his sister sitting properly as the audience watching his presentation. I knew he liked sports early on because he went from weatherman to sportsman, sportscaster. And this was about 10, 11, 12, in that range. We thought it was a passing fancy. But he loved to go to sporting events. I took him to Norman to watch Barry Switzer's Sooners play. I took him to see the Harlem Globetrotters when they came to town. I took him out to our class 2A baseball team in Oklahoma City. In the meantime, he was keeping voluminous records in books of everybody's ERAs and RBIs. It just, the whole thing, he just had chart after chart. I had no idea what he would ultimately do with it. Finally, the years clicked by and he was ready to go to school. And while my daughter visited a number of schools and interviewed and was very picky about where she might go, Craig just came in and announced that he would be going to North Texas. Why are you going to North Texas? Because they have a great radio, television, film program. And in the process, he met George, and George became a good friend of our family. He would come down to our house in Lancaster and visit, and my wife would make lasagna or tacos, and they would come home to good hot food.
Has Craig been more successful than you thought he'd be, or is he still as big a disappointment as he's always been to you?
No, I never worried about his trajectory. We knew that sports work and sports casting, it was a very narrow professional field. And we knew that you just didn't walk out of school and get a job the next day. And so we didn't know how that would play out. But we realized that anything that you're good at will eventually, in the long run, pay off if you persevere. He's been there for 20 years now and seems quite happy with it.
Do you listen to the program?
I do.
Are you sometimes appalled at the content?
No, I'm beyond the shock part of it. No, I actually enjoy it.
You're how old now?
I am 80. I'll be 81 in August.
If you had to give yourself a letter grade, how did you do as a father?
Oh, I don't think it would be an A+. I think it would be
a double plus?
No. I think I have no regrets about my parenting. I don't know many people who feel that they did it as good as they could. But I would give myself an A-, B+. When it all comes together and everything that you tried to do produces a good product, well, it makes you feel pretty good. I give them credit.
So what do you do around here? You have a garden out back?
I have a garden. I have fish, 3 fish.
Let's go look at them.
Sure.
There we go.
It's open.
Oh, it looks beautiful back here. You definitely have a green thumb.
Well, I spend all my time out here. This is my therapy. This is my little fish.
Look at that. That's a...
They're my 3 little fish.
Look at this lawn is lush.
Yeah. And this is my garden. And
this is amazing. Well, Mr. Miller, I thank you for visiting with me today.
Well, I'm so glad you could come over, Gordon.
Absolutely. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, that was great.
Little visit with Mr. Miller. And like I said, the interview was like an hour and a half long, and he told so many good stories, and he told me some touching things about his dad, and it was hard to make the decision to focus on his relationship with you or his own relationship with his own father, because both of them work for our theme today. But we may hear some more of little snippets of the interview, including some funny stories he told about you that I tried to remind you of, and you didn't even remember some of these things. We'll probably get to some of those tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I think my sister and I have talked about this before, and I think we give him an A or an A-plus because he seemed to strike that perfect balance of disciplinarian. You know, he spanked us enough times to where we feared it, but it was a rare occasion. But he was that disciplinarian, that head of the family figure. But he also gave us so much freedom to just kind of explore our own selves.
And he mentioned buying you the bike that you wanted at the age of 15, your Motobacon bike, and how that cost a lot of money, but he bought it for you, and then he let you ride from Oklahoma City to darn near Amarillo by yourself at the age of 15, and he made a hotel reservation for you midway on that journey so you could spend the night there. And he told about allowing you to do that, and he says now that sounds crazy in hindsight with today's eyes, you know, today's parenting. So he told that story, and also it was interesting to learn about his life, about how, and throughout him talking about you and how he used to read with you out of these books, and he named these little grammar books that he used to work with you when you were very, very young. It was clear that education was hugely important to him, and here was a man who wanted to become a professor and wanted to become a teacher. His own father dies. He has to work, and then he goes into the Navy to avoid getting drafted into the Army. He was going to at least decide the branch of service he goes into.
But he taught his kids.
Stays in there, teaches his kids, stays in the Navy, and then when it comes time to go back to college, he's getting ready to go back to college to fulfill this educational dream that he's always had. And he accompanied a friend. Do you know this story? He accompanied a friend who was going on a job interview at an insurance agency. And he went with his friend to the insurance agency, was waiting for his friend, and the woman, the personnel woman, comes out and says, well, hey, while you're just waiting for your friend, why don't you come in here and talk to us? We got a great opportunity here in the exciting world of insurance. And he went up and interviewed, and he gets a call a couple days later from the head of the company saying, you know, yeah, we hired you. And his friend gets a call and says, we're not hiring you.
Oh, really? I never knew that story.
That's what started your dad's 38-year career in insurance, was this off chance of him just going there. And, he, of course, he never ended up being able to go back to have college because he starts a family and becomes the working man.
Wow. I never knew that story.
Yeah.
That's
a great visit.
And see, he was obviously a good teacher. I didn't mean to interrupt your story there, but, you know, Craig, you're smarter than you give yourself credit for, and I think a lot of that is, you know, what your dad taught you at a young age. And look at your sister and what she did. As your dad said, she had interviews with all these colleges, and then you just announced one day you were going to North Texas. But I think that's a great legacy from your dad, as Gordon said, that education was important. I think it benefited you and your sister.
He made sure you guys went to college and went to, at least Claire went to a good college.
Hey, we'll fight right here. All right, good.